To thank all my guys that I call the B team. They're not the B team. They're really working hard. We have a lot of really great volunteers. If you don't know everybody who was here who's not normal, some of you are like, this is their first time here. It's like, this is what they always do. No, our pastor and our music minister are on vacation, which means that I had to get here and try to fix everything in the morning that they normally fix, and I didn't do a very good job. And so that's number one. And number two, though, we had some really great volunteers who came in here. That was Anthony and Krista Copeland, Anthony and Krista Copeland, who were here leading worship. And then you had King on the keys. Now, he's normally on the keys. But then Stephen Wright was playing drums for us. And so thank you guys for filling in. It's exciting that we just have talented people in our church. But more than talented people, what I love about Friendship Baptist Church is we have people who love God. And there's people who love God and want to take this message of God to the world. And that's what we're about. And so today, I just want to welcome you back to Shane Tries to Focus Long Enough to Give a Whole Message. This is like the third one. And so this is my third one in like a month. And so I'm kind of out of good ideas. And so I'm going to be everywhere today. And y'all just going to stick with me. And you're going to be like, oh, that was, he tried. Okay. But that's fine because it doesn't matter what I do. It matters what God does. And maybe God will speak in the middle of that. But we are going to look today at Ephesians chapter 5. That's the bulk of where we're going to be today, is in Ephesians chapter 5. But before we do that, we're just going to take a moment to just have some class participation here. So who is the light of the world? Okay, that's cool. Okay, we know that. Okay, so Jesus is the light of the world. We believe that, all right? You know what I'm saying? And so I think we've got a slide that even says that Jesus is the light of the world. What's my first slide, Shay? I forgot. It's been a long time. Yes. So there you go. On your seat there, you say, Jesus is the light of the world. Like, I've been on vacation this week, and I did like this last week, and I'm remembering. And that's true. The Bible says that. Jesus said it himself, John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again. I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Here's my second question. Who else does Jesus say is the light of the world? Who? Say it. Say it loud. We are. You are. All right? Like the second thing is I am the light of the world. Now, this is you say that as well. I am the light of the world. If you have asked Jesus to come into your life, then not only is Jesus the light of the world, but Jesus has said you are the light of the world. We know this from Matthew chapter 5. It says this, you are the light of the world. Pretty simple. You know what I'm saying? Just straight up Matthew chapter 5 verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So what does this mean? All right. So what does this mean that Jesus says, I am the light of the world, or that he is the light of the world, Jesus is, but also that we are, that I am the light of the world? How do we deal with that? How do we look at that? How do we figure out what it means that we are the light of the world? And if we are, if we honestly are, if we believe that Jesus wasn't kidding, he wasn't making a joke, he wasn't like playing a prank on us, if we honestly believe that Jesus, we take Jesus at his word, when he looks at his followers and says, you are the light of the world, if we honestly believe that, then what does that mean for us and who we are? All right, so we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 6. Now, a bit of context, if you've been around Friendship this month, you've probably already heard about Ephesians a little bit. It's what we're talking about in Sunday school. And so maybe if you've been to Sunday school, you know some of this context. If you haven't been in Sunday school, you need to be in Sunday school. If you can only go to one every Sunday, Sunday school or church, choose Sunday school, all right? I guess they're both church. But I would always say choose Sunday school because in Sunday school, people are challenging. They can look in you the eye and say and ask you questions about your life. It's kind of in-depth teaching. So always pick Sunday school if you can only pick one. But I will say this, in Sunday school, we've been learning about Ephesians, but here's some context. Paul, who's writing Ephesians, was one of the biggest opponents of Christianity in the whole world. He was going around actively rounding up Christians, throwing them in jail, and approving of the fact that they were killed, all right? And then a bright light on the way to Damascus came into Paul's life. Jesus called him to follow wherever Jesus went. God, go wherever I call you to go for Paul. And then Paul's life radically changed. And he became a person that was teaching the gospel everywhere he went. And so now he's writing these letters to different churches. And he wrote a bunch of different letters. This one is one of the times that Paul is actually in prison for his faith. And he is writing a letter to mostly Gentile believers on how they should live now that they've chosen Jesus. All right? So verse 6 there of Ephesians chapter 5. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light. For the fruit of the light results in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, discerning what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made clear. For what makes everything clear is light. Therefore it is said, get up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you. All right, let me read verse 8 again. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. I like that Paul doesn't say you were in darkness. He doesn't say you were like living in a world of darkness. He says you were darkness, but no longer are you darkness. You are now light. Again, bouncing off what Jesus says, he says, listen, you are the light. The world is darkness. People away from the church and away from what we have are in darkness, and they're fighting with darkness, and they're desperate to find the light. People are hurting. They're trying to figure out why life doesn't work. They're trying to figure out why everyone else's life looks so much better. They're looking on Facebook and Instagram and saying, I want what they have, but I can't seem to find it. And they're directionless, and they're trying to figure out what to do next, and they reach out and grab the next thing in their job, and they still feel empty, and they still feel desperate, and they chase after a new relationship, and they still feel like they're broken, and they don't feel complete, and they're whole, and they're not whole yet. And people are desperate and looking for light. The world is dark. It needs the light. And guess what? We are the light. Let me say that again. We are the light. And your friends and your family and your community will never have light until you are willing to leave this place and take the light into the darkness. If that doesn't like shake you to your core, you can just go home now. It's fine. Nobody will judge you. You're just, you know what I'm saying? We're cool with that. You know what I'm saying? There's some people that like to just come to church and not be challenged, and I'm good with that. So if that doesn't shake you, in just a moment, we'll kind of pass some things out and you can just leave, okay? But he's like, but I honestly, no, don't really leave because I've got good stuff to say and I feel bad. And it's, you know, I don't really want you to leave. But I really believe that if that doesn't shake you to your core, then you need to begin praying, God, why doesn't that matter to me? Because honestly, when I got my head around that this week, it blew my mind that my friends and my family and my community who doesn't know Jesus will always be in darkness until me and my church take the light to them. Jesus has said, you are the light of the world. You are the ones that has to take the light into our community. And I know you can think, well, man, there's other churches. We live in the Bible Belt. There's 45 other churches. Listen, God has not called them. He's called us. And our job is to take the light into our community. And what matters right now is the fact that you are called to be light in the world. And you're like, oh, no, Jesus is the light. Yes, Jesus is the light. But Jesus has chosen to use us to take light into the world. I like to think of it like this. All right, so what is this? Young people who can see it. There you go. Okay. Front row people who can see. This is a light bulb, all right? This is a light, all right? I'm not, like, powerful, and I can't, like, turn it on and make it light up in my hand or whatever. It's not like a magic light or whatever. But if I were to screw this into a light bulb socket, you know, that little socket, what would happen? It would turn on. It would light. It would be light. Now, what actually makes this work? You got electricity, all right? What's the light up part? What part lights up? The little thing in the middle, the filament in the middle, all right? It actually kind of burns. Electricity goes through it. It glows because it's got electricity through it. And that's the light in there, but this is the light, all right? It's both. And English is crazy like that, but it's both things, all right? And so here's the way I like to think about it, is that the filament inside of us is Jesus, all right? We plug into prayer and God's power, and the Jesus inside of us glows, and then we take this light where it needs to go. It's like a flashlight. We take the flashlight where it needs to go. I put on Facebook this week if anybody had stories of getting lost in the dark, and nobody really did, and I think that's because we carry flashlights with us wherever we go. Now we always have flashlights on our phone. I remember the younger days when you would be out and it would be like starting to get dark. You're like, we've got to get back to the car or we're not going to be able to see the path. Now it's like, well, I got a flashlight. I'm cool. You know, like I've got that with me. But the idea there is that in a world of darkness, we have to be willing to take the light where we're going. We have to be willing to take the light into the world. Jesus is the light who's come into the world, and he's chosen us to be the conduits of that light into the world. We've got to take the gospel and let it shine, or else people will forever be trapped in darkness. I want to take just a moment. We're going to watch just a little bit of a video, and then I'm going to come back and talk afterwards. It's not really great setup, so just go ahead.
At just the right moment, in the fullness of time, into a world of darkness came a light that would shine. An infant hope in a desperate hour, clothed in secrecy, void of power, hunted by a king, sought by the wise, heaven rejoiced, darkness despised, tempted, tested, human divine, yet through it all, the light would still shine. Growing in stature, full of truth and grace, the light appears in the most unlikely place. Rejected by others, they felt the embrace. Dinner with a sinner, a rendezvous at night, in the midst of a storm with a boat full of fright. A man up a tree, a child on a knee, a captive set free. Broken and battered, wounded and shattered, fractured and tattered, their lives really did matter. Yes, through it all, the light would still shine. Threatened by change, exposed by acceptance, darkness attacks with lies and deception. Blasphemer, glutton, sinner, liar. As the enemy stoops lower, love stands higher, higher and deeper, longer and wider, healer, friend, teacher, provider. Yes, through it all, the light would still shine. Religion unmasked, hypocrites taken to task, answers pondered, questions asked. Which is the greatest? Who is my neighbor? How should we pray? Who does God favor? Stories with truth, uncommon, uncouth. Forgive and let go, not a tooth for a tooth. Blessed are the meek, turn the other cheek. Find when you seek, forget not the weak. Yeast and trees, seeds and wheat, pearls and coins, hands and feet. Law fulfilled, love complete. Yes, through it all, the light would still shine. Then storm clouds gather, blacker than black. 30 pieces of silver, a stab in the back. Betrayed, denied, condemned to die, a crowd's lie, a mother's cry, a son's why. Then one last breath and the father sighs. The light grows dim and begins to subside. On a lonely hill, scoffers jeer. Darkness dances and evil cheers. The earth grows quiet. Hope disappears. Will the light shine again, or is this the end? Then out of the vastness of eternal dark rose the faintest of hopes, the tiniest spark. And midst the silence, a voice can be heard. In the beginning was God, and God was the Word. In him was life, and that life was the light. And to all who received it, it gave them the right to be children of the day, not the night. Darkness trembles at the sound of that phrase. First one day, then 2 days, then finally 3 days. Life begins to grow, evil begins to know, a stone begins to roll, and light begins to explode in a resurrection glow. Angels descend, every knee bends, a savior appears, the followers hear words of life, not dread. Why seek the living among the dead? At just the right moment, in the fullness of time, into a world of darkness came a light that still shines.
Jesus Christ, the light of the world, chose to die. Then he was buried and he rose again, so that you who were children of darkness could be called children of light. So that you who were trapped in darkness could walk into the light. I don't know who you are in this place. I don't know where you are. I don't know where your life is. But here's what I know. If you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've not said, here, this is what I want, then you will always be finding something is missing. Something isn't working. Something isn't clicking in my life, because we who live in darkness need the light. And Jesus is the answer to what we're looking for. Are you hurting? Jesus is your light. Are you alone? Jesus is your light. Are you looking for answers? Jesus is your light. Are you desperate and broken and messed up? Jesus is your light. Are you looking around at your life and thinking, is this really all there is? I've got everything, the job I wanted, the family I wanted, the position I wanted in my community, and yet I still feel empty and broken. Is this really all there is? Jesus is your light. Are you worn down or worn out? Jesus is your light. And that's why we're here today. That's why we're speaking and sharing today, because Jesus is the light of the world. And I honestly believe that there are people sitting here right now who need to know that Jesus is their light. And I know for sure, 100% sure, that there are people right outside these walls, people who we called our one, people we've been praying for, people we know and walk with every day, who are desperate to know the light of Jesus in their lives. And Jesus looks at us and says, I am the light of the world, and you are the light of the world. So go and take this light into the world. Let it sink down into your bones, people. Let it resonate with you when you go to bed and when you wake up. Our community will always be dark until we're willing to take Jesus seriously and believe that we're the light of the world. Our world will always be dark until we're willing to say, yes, we are the light, and we take the light into the world. They will always be in darkness until we take the light to them. And if we are the light, then we will drive back the darkness. I have a couple ushers that are going to come help me. We're going to pass out something to you right now. I wanted to give you something to kind of hold on to and kind of touch as we kind of get ready for this next part. And so what I've got for you here is actually just a little light bulb, and not like a big one like that, because those are expensive. So a little light bulb. And so when you get this, I just want you to pick one. They're all the same. So grab one out, and then just hold on to it. So we're going to talk about it for a little while, but I want to do this now. And so to understand this idea that we are the light, that we have to remember that we are the light, that Jesus Christ says that you are the light of the world. And that means that in this world of darkness, we have light that pushes back the darkness. And that's the really cool thing about light. If you've ever really been trapped in somewhere dark, all you have to do is turn on the light and the darkness goes away. I mean, like, even a small light gets rid of darkness. So I was asking for stories, and Miss Pam sent me a text about dark places in the church. I forgot about this. So if you are using the bathroom in the kids zone and somebody turns the lights on the kids zone off, oh my goodness, it's dark. I mean, like, it's pitch black. There's no windows. It's pitch black. And it's kind of scary, you know, if you're there in the dark, because it's like, how am I supposed to use the bathroom and leave the room? But it only takes one small light to light up the whole thing. So all it takes is, oh, let me find my phone and let me turn the light on. And then suddenly the darkness is gone. All right. And that's the thing. That's who we are. In a world that's dark, we take the light. Now, granted, one light isn't always super bright, but as more and more and more lights come, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And that's the remarkable thing about this light that we're taking, is that we are taking this light and then we're making other lights and new lights and new lights, and it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. So I think there's two groups of people here. There's a group of people who need to know that Jesus is the light. And then there's a group of us who need to be taking the light to our community, to our world, to our family, to our friends. And the question is, so how do we do that? How do we tell them about the light? How do we be this light in the world? Now, we have to do it by kind of acting the right way, but what's the message? What do we say when we go out? Now, our youth have been using this little acrostic that is the gospel acrostic, and acrostic just means it's kind of a way that we're remembering all the parts of our message. If you've ever done like EE or faith or one of those kind of evangelism training things, those are kind of churchy words, sorry. It's just a way that we learn to tell people about Jesus. They were all about kind of memorizing these very exact ways of telling people about Jesus. This acrostic is really more just a way to remember, in case you forget, here's the basic story of the Bible. And so I want to walk us through this. And if you're thinking, so what is it that I need to tell my friends? What is this light that I'm talking about? This is what I think we need to share, and this is what we need to tell. The first one is this. The big G there on your sheet is God created us to have a relationship with him, all right? God created us to be with him, all right? So that's it. So God created us to be with him. And so there's a lot wrapped up in there, this idea that, number one, God created us. Now, if you're in a discussion with somebody, maybe one of your friends, or maybe you're here now and you're like, I don't believe that whole 6-day thing. Listen, we can have that debate a different day. The first day to start with is God made us, all right? And God made this world. And whether he made it with a big bang or with something else that it's more biblical, that's a discussion we can have. But let's start with this idea that says God made us. I mean, God didn't just make us and walk away. He didn't just kind of like set the thing into motion and leave. He made us to be with him and to have a relationship with him. That's who God wants for us. That's what God wants us to be. God wants us to have a relationship with him. And we can tell people that. And the remarkable thing is that all of us are created by God with a desire to have a relationship with God. Now, we try to fill that relationship with a lot of other things. We try to find the true love of our life, and sometimes that's an amazing thing because it helps push us closer to God, but sometimes it's a person that we're just trying to fill the hole in our life. It's like, I need someone to complete me, and that's someone else is not going to complete you. God's going to complete you, but we keep looking for things like that. We keep searching for position and power and money and security and all of these things, thinking that they're going to complete us. And God's saying, no, listen, this is what matters most, is you want a relationship with me. And God created all of us with a desire to have a relationship with him. But the problem is that we are sinners, and that's the next thing, is that our sin separates us from God. That's the O. Our sin separates us from God. Our sin, there you go. Our sins separate us from God. And because our sins separate us from God, we cannot be in that relationship that we want to have, that God wants to have with us, that we want to interact with God and know God, have that hole in our heart filled if we are sinners, all right? And we all mess up. And I have yet to meet anyone that I said, when I quote Romans 3:23 and say we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, I've yet to meet anyone who says, I have never messed it up and done anything wrong in my life. Never met anybody who did that. Now, I've met people who said, I'm not as bad as that person. I've met a lot of people who said, there's some bad people at that church, and I'm not as bad as they are. But I've never met anybody who said, I've never messed up, all right? And because we know in our heart of hearts that we are not perfect, and we know ourselves, and we know that our sins separate us from God. Now, when people sin, I think they really respond in one of three ways. They respond the right way. They sin, they go to God and ask for forgiveness, all right? The second way that they respond to sin is say, this isn't really wrong. And our world does that a lot. Our media does that a lot. We kind of move the goalpost on what is sin. Things, so that used to be sin, and now it's not anymore because I don't really think that's wrong. We can make a list, I'm just 45, and I know I'm getting old, but I'm just 45, and just the things from when I was a kid that used to be called sin that aren't called sin anymore, that list is like 4 or 5 days long, and some of you have been alive even longer, and you're like, well, let me tell you about the stuff that we thought. Now, some of those things, granted, we were kind of crazy, and we probably needed to realize those weren't actually sin, and we got some freedom in Christ, but a lot of things, the goalpost has just been moved because people felt guilty about the things they were doing and said, okay, let's just make that not a sin anymore and I don't have to feel guilty about it anymore. So there's some people respond by going to Jesus. They try to move the goalpost and say, that's not really a sin. It doesn't actually work. They still feel guilty about it. So then they start fighting against everybody who says it's a sin. And then you get like rallies with signs and it gets bad. And the third way, I think, and this is the way that most Christian people deal with sin, is they try to good their way out of their sin. And by that, I mean they just try to do more good things. So I'm doing this two bad things, but I don't really want to deal with those two bad things, so I'm just going to try to do more good things. And the more good things I do, the more it's going to pay for my sins. But see, the problem with this is that's always going to leave you wanting, because the S is this, is that sin cannot be removed by our good deeds. Sin cannot be removed by our good deeds. No matter how much good you try to do, no matter how many good things you try to make, all you're coming to church and volunteering and singing and giving away nice stuff to other people and doing all of this stuff, it's all good, and we do it because we're saved, but they don't save you. They don't change you. They do not pay for your sins. It's like hiding a burnt cake with pretty icing. Sure, the icing tastes nice, but the cake is still burnt underneath. You still like, that seems like something I would do, though. It's like, that cake is like burned to a crisp. Let's put pretty icing on it, put it out the church. Nobody will pay any attention. Or if they do, we just won't tell them it's ours, That idea is a problem, that sin cannot be removed by good deeds. It's like spraying perfume on a corpse. It still stinks. And that's who we are, and that's what our good deeds are. And if you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus, and by knowing Jesus, I mean that you've asked that Jesus, I want you to be in control of my life, to be the Lord of my life, and I want to follow you. If you haven't done that yet, then all of the things about trying to be here and do good things and find this stuff is just putting icing on a burnt cake, because sins cannot be removed by our good deeds. The only thing that can help our sin is the death of Jesus Christ in our lives. And that's the P, paying the price for sin. Jesus died and rose again. Romans 5:8 says, but God proves his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But God proves his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That we have the punishment and the penalty for our sins has been paid by Jesus Christ. That's the message that we have. That's the light that we share. That's the word that we share when we walk out to our friends. When we realize we're the light of the world and we see our friends who are desperate, who are separate from God, who are trying to fill their hole in their heart with everything other than God, we see them there. We say, listen, it'll never work, but guess what? Paying the price for our sins, Jesus Christ died and rose again. You don't have to work hard to get God to love you. You don't have to work hard to be good enough. You don't have to work hard to find a place. You don't have to clean your life up to be with Jesus. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, died and rose again so that you can have a place with him. He paid the penalty for our sins, and that is the light that we take to the world. That's the message of hope that we share with our friends, that paying the price, that Jesus died and rose again, that's what we're telling. Jesus Christ is the light. And here's the really cool thing. The E is everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life, that God has called us to eternal life. Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the mouth one confesses, resulting in righteousness, and with the heart one believes, resulting in salvation. I think I flipped those two. Let me look. Yes, I did. Oh, man, I was close. That's next week's verse. I don't have to have that one memorized yet. But anyway, that's who we are, that God says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is the Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who trusts in God and Jesus alone will be saved. Trusting in Jesus brings eternal life. And the really cool thing is that eternal life isn't just now. I mean, it isn't just after you die. That eternal life starts now and lasts forever. And so that's the last L there. Life begins now and lasts forever. All right? I thought my youth were going to yell there for a second. There you go. All right. Because it's life begins now and lasts forever is how we say that when we're learning it. But life begins right now, but it's not, and so it's not just eternal life later. It's not just for when you're 95 and you're going to die and say, then I'm going to have eternal life. No, life, that eternal life of God begins now. It's God that comes into your heart and speaks that truth in your heart and speaks into who you are. And so that's the truth. And this is the message of the gospel. It makes a difference, not just in the future, but right now. Someone here in this room, boy, I sound like a televangelist, didn't I? But anyway, someone right here in this room needs to let go of the guilt that they're carrying and come to Jesus. Somebody right here has been trying too hard to be good enough to be to God, and God's saying, listen, you cannot be good enough, and that's a good thing. Come to Jesus. Your best is never going to be good enough. Let me say that again. Your best is never going to be good enough. But the cool thing is God loved you while you were still a sinner and sent Jesus to become the good enough for you. Someone right here needs to let go of the guilt you're carrying and come to Jesus. You've walked in darkness long enough. It's time to choose the light. It's time to choose this message of God. Some of you have Jesus and have his light, but you've been hoarding it to yourself. You're like, listen, I've got my little light here, and I'm going to hold it here, and I'm going to keep it in my little room, and it's dark out there, and I know I've got a flashlight, and I know I've got the light of Jesus, but those people don't really want the light anyway, and if they might, you know, say, take my light, like you could take Jesus, but you know, say, I don't want to go out there with them, and you're hoarding your light to yourself. And Jesus is like, no, 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 you are the light of the world, and you should be a city on a hill that everybody can see. And you know, and here's the remarkable thing about Jesus's light. When we hoard it to ourselves, the longer we keep it to ourselves, the dimmer and dimmer and dimmer it gets. The light just kind of keeps shrinking in on itself till that's all we can see. Because see, light is meant to be shared. We have to take it out and share it with the world. And that's what we have to do. And some of you have lights that are covered by your sin, that you're doing stuff that just covers up the light of Jesus. And Jesus is like, listen, it's time for you to get that stuff out of your life, get that gunk out of your life so that you can come and shine the light brightly. And so how do you do that? Jesus, I got gunk in my life that's hiding my light from the world. I need you to forgive me, and I'm going to fix that, all right? So it's not like that saves you, but it's like it hides your light. And some of you have been holding this light so long and holding this kind of sin so long that we've forgotten that we are supposed to be the light. We need to confess that Jesus is Lord. We need to stop sinning, and we need to go out and be the light. Now, all of you have a little light that you've picked up at some point in time. You probably put it down on your chair and lost it, and that's fine. But if you still have it, I just want you to hold it in your hand. And I want you to think for just a moment about the people that you walk around with this week. They may be your coworkers, they may be your classmates, they may be just somebody you bump into, like all you know, the person that always takes your order at Starbucks. Maybe it's just a person that, a family member. But somebody that you have no clue whether or not they know Jesus or not. Or maybe it's somebody that you know for sure that they know nothing about God at all. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to hold that hand in just a moment. I'm just going to be quiet for just a moment. I just want you to begin to pray a prayer that sounds like this. God, I need to be light in this person's life. Put their blank in there. So say it's you've got Sally, and you know that Sally needs to know Jesus, and you work with Sally every single day, and you talk to Sally about everything else under the sun other than Jesus, then you need to be praying. God, I just need to pray right now that I will be light in Sally's life. And here is how I want to be light. And whatever it is for you this week, whether it's just I'm going to bring my Bible to work or where what I hope it is I'm going to tell her about you, God. I'm going to pause for just a moment, and I just want you to pray. Whatever name it is, whatever people it is, just kind of begin to pray and say, God, I want to be light for these people in my life. Let's pray. Father God, all around the room right now, there are people praying for people in their lives. God, there are people that they know who are walking in darkness. God, be honest about me, scares me. It scares me to bring up the gospel, and I don't really know why. I know it's the light. I know it's what we need. I'm always scared I'm going to do something wrong, or I'm going to offend somebody, or I'm not going to be able to talk to them about it tomorrow. God, just really break me of that. Just break me of that truth that's going on in my life, and God, just break me of that desire to be afraid. God, I pray for the people right now that just like me, that are scared for taking this gospel to the world, that you will let them have courage. You'll give them the words, and you'll give them opportunities, and you will remind them to be the light. In your name we pray. Amen. Look at me for just a moment. So I believe strongly that each one of you is somebody who needs to take the light to the world. Unless you're here right now, and all this stuff that we talked about, the gospel, this God thing that we're talking about, you're like, you know what? I've been to church before. I've heard about Jesus before. I've seen this church stuff before, but I have never said I want God to be Lord of my life. I've never said I want God to be in control of everything that I do. And so right now, in just a moment, Anthony and Krista are going to come back up and sing, but when they do, I'm going to stand down here in the front, and you may have never been to church before. You may not know what we're talking about, but if you will just kind of walk down and find me, I will talk to you and tell you what it means to have a real relationship with Jesus. If you don't want to talk to me, turn to the person next to you and say, will you tell me about this Jesus guy? And if they don't say yes, just keep asking people till somebody does, all right? Because we want to tell you about who Jesus is. Some of you in here, it's time for you to join Friendship. You've given your life here. You've been hanging out here. You got to serve here. You got to volunteer here. Just a minute. If you've been a member of another church, you kind of know how this works. You're going to come here. We're going to fill out a card. You're going to become a member of Friendship. And that's what's going on. Others of you, maybe just need to be at the altar. Maybe just take that light to the altar and put it at the altar and say, God, I know I'm not being the light and I need to be. Here's the deal. Our world will always be darkness until we're willing to share the light of Jesus with them. Your friends will always be in darkness until you're willing to tell them about Jesus. That's the way it works. That's the way God set it up. He sent us to tell the world. So let's go and tell. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for this room. I thank you for these people who are, God, who just love to share you with the people that they meet. God, I know that you have something planned for our community and for these people. God, I pray right now for the people in this place who've never trusted you the first time. God, you will help them have the courage to just grab onto somebody and say, I want to know about this light of Jesus. I pray for each of us here that you will send us out to be a light to our world. In your name we pray. Amen. If you would stand with me for just a moment, we are going to sing, Lord, I Come.